This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Thank you very much for having me. Thank you very much for the invitation. Very happy to be here today and talk about archaic human genomes. I will mostly focus on what we learn about the population of those archaic genomes. So, of course, we have been known, before ancient DNA, that there was, different form of human, right? By the study of the bones, by archaeology, anthropological study. But it's only, 30 years ago that we started to have, the first genetic information about those different form of human. And today we have, full-on genome, the whole DNA would give us basically the blueprint of those individuals that have been dead something 100,000 of years ago, which allow us to get insight into their biology. And in my opinion, that is already another landmark of actually human evolution. And I just want to mention, in order to get that, of course, there have been a lot of work that have been done into development method and the technology behind to generate those type of data, because we know ancient DNA is not easy to work with. It's highly degraded and fragmented and very low quantity DNA. So there's a lot of work over the past 20 years in the lab to be able to extract the DNA and sequence that DNA, for example, now, from every single step, right? Starting with the sampling, we know now what type of bones will be more conducive from DNA preservation. We also develop a minimal sampling approach, just for example, you see in that bone, before and after sampling, there's just a little hole where we just sample 14 milligram, and with those 14 milligram, we succeed to reconstruct a high coverage of a Neanderthal individual, right? And also when we extract the DNA, there's a new method that allows to really target for short and fragmented a molecule, as you can see in that actually here, you have classical standard methods that are not very good to retrieve short fragment size, but with optimized method for ancient DNA, we see that we have a good yield of all type of sizing. And then also we have also a library preparation approach that also have been developed. There's especially one that has very been developed just to work with ancient molecule, which is a single stranded approach, when you can see by, for example, comparing a double-stranded approach, which is optimized, but by standard protocol, and a single-stranded approach, you see we retrieve much more ancient, small DNA fragments with approach that developed for ancient DNA. And of course, nowadays, we also work a lot with automation, right, which allow to process a lot more, a bigger volume of samples, but also allow to reduce the mistake, the error mistake, and have better reproducibility. So then by applying all those new technical advance that allow us to have all the different genomes, genetic information for all those ancient individuals, and one of the first, of course, archaic human that I'm going to talk about are the Neanderthals. So the Neanderthals, I think, are well-known. So the Neanderthal type specimen was discovered in 1956 in the Neandertal Valley in Germany. And there's a lot of study, there's a lot of fossils, reconstruct full-on morphology. The behavior have been very well studied by the all the fossil evidence of Neanderthal that have been found. We'll be able to reconstruct their geographic distribution. So they are mostly in Western Eurasia and some part of Central Eurasia. And we know that they have been occupied that space between 400,000 to 40,000 years when they have been extinct. So they have a lot of interest, right, around Neanderthal, but they're looking we've just been fascinated about it. So through the years, a lot of artists, based on the morphology, have been even trying to reconstruct what a Neanderthal might look like, and to really show the interest also of the Neanderthal. You know, they are very present in our culture today, right? We're there's a lot of mention of Neanderthal in media and so on. And so because no real surprise that one of the first ancient DNA study tried to get DNA from an ancient human actually was like on a Neanderthal. And that's like that story, that study from like 1997, where they succeed to extract a little piece of DNA from a Neanderthal specimen. And basically what they did is like they sequenced that little piece of DNA and they compare it to the same piece of DNA from a lot of like different individual, more than the individuals. And so when you just like compare the diversity of that little piece between all the modern human individuals, so you have a distribution like that, or the number of difference. And when they were having the Neanderthal piece and compare them to all those individuals, they have like a higher distribution of the difference. And here, of course, they have also the difference with like the chimpanzee, which is our extant, closest extant relative. So like with that first sequence, they were able to show that we had actually a sequence of Neanderthal because it was not falling in the diversity of modern human. And you could see that Neanderthal is definitely like more closely related to us than was the chimp. And then in 2010, we had like a first draft sequence, like full on DNA of Neanderthals. It was actually a composite of like three different remains because to increase like kind of the yield. And basically today from Neanderthal, we have like, I think around like 32, the DNA from nuclear DNA from 32 individuals from like, you can see like all those like different sites here, like from like different, like in the here you can see the time range. And also we have like different like qualities. So from some individuals, we have like genome that cover like 52X, 30X. So this is very good quality genomes that's like basically like anybody at, like when you sequence the DNA of people today, you attain like the same quality. So we have like three high quality genomes. So we say high quality is like when it's like over 25X and a lot more of like lower coverage Neanderthal individuals. Next, I will talk about like the Denisovans. So like Janet like introduced the Denisovans already, but I think like they are very like it's a kind of a fascinating story, the story, the way we kind of like discover the Denisovans, right? Because they were just not present in at least characterized in the archaeological records, right? And they have been found identified through a single little bone that have been found in Denisova cave. It's like that cave in South Central Siberia. And where there's like that pinky bone actually that has a lot of DNA. And actually like Johannes, I think has been like the one first like working on it, like extracting the DNA and reconstruct the mitochondrial genome and like discovering, like do like the same type of analysis, just like comparing the genetic diversity between like a different a pool of human and Neanderthal. And it was obvious that like the diversity between the Denisovans and the human was even like bigger than what observed with like the Neanderthal. So that like the evidence that we have definitely a different type of like human that haven't been identified or characterized before. And in the same year, actually, we have like the nuclear DNA that was confirming that it was definitely a different form of human, not falling in the diversity of modern human or on Neanderthals, but was kind of like a sister group that diverged from Neanderthal before like the common ancestor between those guys, the Denisovans and Neanderthal, diverged for modern human. And of course, like they have been called Denisovan after the cave where they have been found, the Denisova cave. So they remain a mystery because like indeed, like we literally have like a full high good quality genome and we have like all that DNA before even getting like more fossils, right? So like it's to the reverse story from the Neanderthal when we knew a lot about the morphology, we have all the like the skeleton and like, and then we were looking for the DNA. Here we got like very good one genome and now we have to like try to now hunt for like kind of our archaeological evidence of that group of human. So basically this is all we got like as skeletal remain like to date, at least that have been published, that have been assigned to Denisovan. So we are like still like further away to kind of even have their morphology. Like only this year we had like for the first time like a big scale, then we can actually have quite an idea of what the Denisovan look like. And yes, and basically on the basis of the DNA, but also like as Jeanette was showing on the location, on the people who have like Denisovan ancestry, we're also able to estimate more or less their kind of like geographic range. Now, so what do we learn about like all those genome? So first thing, just like we have like a nice now like view about their population history, because I think like probably like several decades ago, people were thinking about Neanderthals, like just like probably like a homogeneous population that just went through like the centuries. But now we actually like realizing that almost like every single individual we find kind of like come from like a different population of Neanderthals. So we have mass stratification like through time and space. So here I will just like a simplification of that previous, because that showed that. So we have like know that now the Neanderthal, Denisovan, and modern human had a common ancestor, right, that lived around like 800,000 years ago. So we have a split, a divergence between common ancestor of modern human and the Neanderthal and Denisovan that happened like around like 700,000 years ago. And then we have that common ancestor of Neanderthal and Denisova, probably like we think like that common ancestor were probably living in Africa, and then that ancestor of Denisovan and Neanderthal probably left Africa and then split in Eurasia into two, at least two main lineage that gave like the Neanderthal that were later more found in Western Eurasia and the Denisovans probably found more in the East. And now we can see like even when we look at the Neanderthals, we also find like a lot of like divergence, right? We have a divergence between like what we call like the early Neanderthals that we found kind of in more central Eurasia and the more like late Neanderthals that are more found in Western Eurasia. And it's like the same thing with the Denisova. Now we have like two high quality genome, and we could see that they definitely like belong to two different populations that split around like 220,000 years ago. Another thing we can learn with those genomes is to actually look at the population size, like what was the population size, the size of the population that those different individuals were coming from, the amount of inbreeding that they have, but also the genetic differentiation between like the different group. And kind of like to infer the population size, we look at the genetic diversity of like one individuals. So we know that like we all get DNA, like a copy from our DNA from our father and a copy from our mother. And by looking kind of like how related our parents that DNA is between a mother copy and a father copy, we can actually infer about the size of the population. Because you can imagine that in a small population, after a few generations, people start just like to reproduce between each other, so they are more or less related. When in a bigger population, you will find like much more diversity, and the parent and the individual would be like much more diverse. So like you can do like those little illustrations, for example, it is like one individual and another one, and you can see that between his father and his mother, you have a lot of like pieces of DNA that are one of the same. When here you have everything is different. So that's what we call like the heterozygosity. And normally when we have low heterozygosity, you have a smaller effective population size. And when your heterozygosity is higher, you have a bigger effective population size. So looking at that heterozygosity in those different Neanderthal individuals that we have and the Denisovan and the modern human, we can see that heterozygosity is quite low in those archaic human in comparison to modern human. Even here we have like very early on modern human that just like out of Africa 45,000 years ago, which seemed to indicate that those archaic were living is very reduced, very isolated, small population in comparison to modern human in already like during the Ice Age. Another thing we can look also at evidence of inbreeding. So you can see like if your father and your mother are like very related, so we have a lot of chunk of their DNA that are just going to be the same. And by measuring how much of the DNA is similar between your father and your mother, you can kind of like have an idea about how inbred those individuals are. And that's we kind of look at what we call the level of homozygosity. And by looking at like the Neanderthal, the Denisovan, and the modern human, we can see especially with like higher level of homozygosity in those genomes, so a lot more inbreeding than what we see with modern human, and especially with the Neanderthal from the East, like we call like the later Neanderthal, they seem to really like their parents of all the individuals that we have there were related to, like, they were like first, the level of the range of first cousin or double first cousin. So like those group were very like, kind of like group of like family individual in comparison to the modern human, when even like those group of like hunter-gatherer seems to be like much more diverse, was not necessarily a family circle. Then next, we are also looking at the, for the Neanderthal, like the genetic differentiation among like different Neanderthal. And then like we can look at certain coefficients that allow us to kind of look how the group are kind of like differentiate from one another. So by doing that, we succeed to like retrieve like the three main lineage of the three different individuals that we have. But something that is very puzzling for us is like that new result that we have when we compare the differentiation between those Neanderthal population and those of human, we kind of like find them, they are like much more differentiate between them than what we observe in present day human. For example, when we compare two of the most differentiated present-day population, like the Mbuti and the Papuan, and we compare the early Neanderthal and the late Neanderthal, we found that those coefficient is like significantly higher, even though we can see like those early and late Neanderthal diverge only like probably like just like 80,000 years ago, like the latest between those individual leave, when those two modern human actually diverged like way, way, way longer, at least like 250,000 years ago. And like you can also have to think, for example, here also we see that those population went through the heart of Africa was a bottleneck and like colonization of new environment, but still they seem like their differentiation is still less than what we see between like the Neanderthal. And then my last point is like, I think something that is very, very clear about the study of all those archaic is just the amount of admixture that we see between like all those different population. Basically here you see like in between every single one of those individual population, we find in Denisovan, we find some Neanderthal ancestry, in modern human, we find Neanderthal ancestry, in Denisovan ancestry, in some Neanderthal, we find like Denisovan ancestry. So in 2018, we even find a bone and the DNA was actually kind of like it was the first, like the first generation offspring of a Neanderthal mother and a Denisovan father, right? So all that like to show like all the study kind of bring really the concept of admixture at the forefront of a discussion about like human evolution. And like with all the DNA now, we start to talk more about that idea when talking about like the extinction of Neanderthal or like integration of Neanderthal into modern human. And like indeed, like we can really start to like think about it. Are the Neanderthal actually really extinct, or they are just like part of who we are today? So thank you very much.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.